Welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design, the Dr. C podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, or simply Dr. C. Tune in every 2 to 5 weeks, every Monday, as we explore the unique journeys of entrepreneurs. Our podcast sheds light on the paths entrepreneurs have taken in their respective industries. Each episode, we dive into the stories of entrepreneurs, their challenges, triumphs, and the insights gained along their journey. We believe in the power of innovation, resilience, and the entrepreneurial spirit that drives success. Together, we'll learn from a diverse array of entrepreneurs united by their passion for making a difference. Now is the time to unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship. Now is the time to be inspired, to learn, and to craft your own path to success. Join me, Dr. C, as we embark on this journey together.
Until you understand the map of your business and how it works and what your cash needs are, there's a good chance you're going to struggle. And then the other thing is, look, owning a business is like riding a roller coaster. There are ups and downs. If you don't have enough cash for the downs, you go out of business, right? You don't get the chance for the next up. And I think that's one of the biggest problems. And that's why I think a lot of businesses don't survive long term.
Meet Rocky Lavigny, the Chief Profitability Advisor for Business Owners, who is dedicated to teaching entrepreneurs how to prioritize profit and ensure they get paid. As a certified profit-first professional, Rocky implements a transformative profit-first system. By changing the accounting formula from sales minus expenses equals profit to sales minus profit equals expenses, Rocky ensures that profit comes first. Importantly, his approach emphasizes that people come before money. It's not about profit at all costs. Rocky's journey began when his parents immigrated to the United States when he was just 2 years old. Starting with nothing, his family moved to pursue the American dream. Despite the challenges of starting over in their 40s and the loss of Rocky's mother when he was only seven, through perseverance and determination, Rocky has achieved both financial and life success. Today, he loves sharing his journey and inspiring others to reach their dreams even faster. Join us as Rocky reveals how to put profit first and transform your business and life. And thank you so much, Rocky, for being here. It is such a pleasure to have you. And I would love for you to share more of your earlier experiences after immigrating to the US and how that has shaped your approach to business and profitability.
Thank you so much for having me. So the early part of the journey, I think what I realized much, much later in life that was unique is that when my parents came here and they would meet with their friends, one of the topics of conversation was money. And I just assumed it was natural for people to talk about money, how they were earning, spending, investing, and all of these different topics. And it wasn't until much later in life that I realized that wasn't the normal conversation. And then when I kind of look back, I realize, wait a minute, I have a Bachelor of Science in Economics. I have an MBA. They didn't really teach me how to build wealth, right? They didn't teach me how, they don't really teach you how to truly run a business. And if you think about it, most of these people who are your teachers, they haven't built wealth. They don't run businesses. So why do we expect them to necessarily teach us how to do it if they've never done it? And so that was kind of pretty shocking for me. I also, for whatever reason, as a kid, had this drive to make money. And so as a kid, the only way you can make money is to be entrepreneurial, right? They're not going to hire you in a job when you're below the age limits and so forth. And so one of the things I used to do, we lived not far from New York City. Going to New York City, I'd buy stuff wholesale. And I'd come back and I'd mark it up 100% and sell it to my friends. So I always had cash as a kid, always making money, always trying to figure out how to build wealth and so forth.
I love that your parents exposed you to just talking about money at such an early age and just the drive, the entrepreneurial spirit started very young, it sounds like, because you're right, in America, here at least, from my experience, people don't talk about money, how much you're making, how much you're spending. They might show you on like videos and like looks like they're making a lot of money, but I think it's such a valuable lesson and things that need to be taught more so. And I'm really curious, what inspired you to become Chief Profitability Advisor, and how do you adopt profit first mythology?
Oh, so you know that really came about because of exactly what you're talking about. I had this aha moment where I was introduced to this concept that business owners weren't looking at their financials. I was like, wait, what? How are you a business owner and not understanding the business of business? And what it came to be was business owners go into business to do what they love, and accounting, finance, and running the business for most of them is not on that list, right? But yet you're a business owner. And I think this is why so many businesses fail. I think this is why so many businesses struggle. And for me, I was like, oh my God, these are skills that are just natural to me. Like looking at spreadsheets, looking at tax returns, understanding what happened, but then truly questioning, why did it go this way? Why didn't you go this way? Or have you looked at these possibilities? And that's kind of what started that whole thing. So I spent a couple years just investigating the whole market, understanding what was there. And then one day I finally made the leap and said, I'm going to go do this. I ended up partnering with Profit First, which is Mike Michalowicz's book. I did that because after looking at a lot of systems, a lot of them were very accounting focused. And I don't want to be an accountant. And honestly, I don't think accountants, or at least most of them, don't help business owners. They tell them what happened, not what could happen. So they're always backwards looking instead of forwards looking. They're so process and terminology focused versus, hey, how do we make your business more profitable and work less? Like, that's not their vocabulary. Yet Mike's vocabulary was very much in line with the way I already thought. He had just taken what I knew naturally and put it into words that resonated with business owners. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to build this, right? That wasn't going to be fun for me. So I'm like, let's just, you know, I became one of his certified Profit First people. And that's how the business kind of took off. And since then, I've learned so much more. And the more you do it, the more experience, the better you become at it.
Well, absolutely. I think it's so important too, because the words were already there for you, like in your mind and what you were doing, the aspect of actually taking action and helping so many people. But I love that you utilize that as a tool to apply it to being able to help so many more people as well. And I'm really curious because a lot of times you're right, some business owners don't look at their finances. They're just like, I'll swipe the card or I'll figure it out later, but I just want to do what I'm passionate about and continue to do so. So what are some of the common misconceptions about profitability that you encounter, and how do you address them with your clients?
So, number one for most business owners is I just need more sales. And most business owners think if they can drive top line revenue, that it'll somehow work out. And I can tell you, it doesn't matter whether you're six figures, seven figures, eight figures, driving revenue isn't going to solve the problem if the underlying math behind the business doesn't work. So if you're selling stuff, and even though you think you're making a profit, but you're actually spending more when you consider overhead and rent and labor and all these indirect expenses that aren't exactly defined, then growing is actually going to make you go bankrupt faster. As a matter of fact, one of the largest reasons for bankruptcy is growth. They grow so fast, they get ahead of their cash, and everything freezes up, and their banks pull their lines, and everything blows up. And I don't think we talk about that enough. Growth takes a tremendous amount of cash unless you build a business model that doesn't require cash to grow. So, for example, I forget if it was Best Buy or another retailer, they were able to grow their business because they bought stuff on 90-day terms. So they'd bring it in, they could fill an entire store for nothing, essentially. They could sell it in 90 days, then they pay their vendor. So now they don't need to bring in inventory to sell and hope they do it. and they could probably send it back or do something. So until you understand the math of your business and how it works and what your cash needs are, there's a good chance you're going to struggle. And then the other thing is, look, owning a business is like riding a roller coaster. There are ups and downs. If you don't have enough cash for the downs, you go out of business, right? You don't get the chance for the next up. And I think that's one of the biggest problems. And that's why I think a lot of businesses don't survive long term. So a lot of these things are preventable, but you just have to sit down and forecast and think through and make sure that you do it right. The other thing I think, especially for newer business owners, and maybe not just newer business owners, they don't charge enough. They're afraid to raise prices. They're like, wait, nobody will pay me this. I'm like, yeah, they will, right? Like for my clients, I always tell them, look, I want you to be the most expensive, not the least expensive. Because if you're chasing the lowest price, you're going to keep going lower and lower. But if you're sitting as a premium product, offering a premium service, your clients are better, you have less hassles, and you make more money.
Yeah, that's so true. I couldn't agree more because I think a lot of people have that fear of, well, I can't charge this much. I started, like when I first started my first business with coaching and I went from therapy and like that mindset was just, okay, well, you're doing good for the world. You can't really charge that much.
So these are money mindsets that really need to be addressed. And the number, I can tell by industry what the behaviors are like. So when you said I went from therapy, I'm like, oh, it's that thought process of I can't charge. It's not fair. I want to help. What I tell therapists is, look, you have to charge a premium price to premium clients, and then you can give it away for free to those who can't afford it. But if you give it away to everybody, you're going to go out of business. You're going to overwork. And if you're not in a good, solid situation, then you can't deliver what you want to deliver to the world. So you have to do that appropriately. And you have to get over those mindsets of, oh, I'm here to help. And this is what's funny. So a therapist wouldn't see it, but I see it. What I find is they're like, oh, I can't afford the therapist. And then you start going through their bills and you're like, funny, you paid all this money for all of these things that are not essential, that you didn't need, that are actually causing you all the problems that you're here to see me for therapy for. And so people make choices and you can't help everyone. You got to be okay with that.
No, it's so true. And I mean, thankfully, my money mindset has shifted since like 7 years ago. But it's really funny because I see that a lot with old friends that are still in the therapy world and things like that. But there's such a valid point to what you're saying, because people will make it work if it is important to them, because people will be spending money on other things that could be allocated to something that's going to be more beneficial to them in the long run. But I love that example because you're right. There's a lot of people that it's the money mindset because it wasn't talked about growing up. It's like this fear around it versus embracing it and knowing that it's a currency, it's an energy. Versus like it has to have some like weight or you have to be a certain caliber to make a certain amount of money, which I don't believe is true. I feel like it's how you move through the world.
It very much is. You get to choose.
Yeah, exactly. And because I know you work with a lot of different people, but can you walk us through what a typical process is you using and implementing the Profit First system with a new client?
So there's two parts. To be honest, Profit First is one small tool that we use with clients from a much, much bigger tool set. But from the Profit First standpoint, basically what Profit First is, first of all, Mike was a serial entrepreneur. He sold his businesses, walked away with a lot of money, not because they were super profitable, just he happened to sell them for a lot. So in that case, profit was an event. He was able to create a profitable event, which was the sellout. At this point, like most entrepreneurs, you know, he thinks he's really smart with money. And over the next couple of years, he actually lost it all to the point of the bankruptcy. And during that period, he said, how did we get this wrong? And one of his ahas was they gave us the wrong equation for profit. So we're told, sales minus expenses equals profit. Well, then it's a leftover. It's an afterthought. He said, no wonder this is a struggle. So he said sales minus profit equals expenses. So it's a whole concept of pay yourself first, right? And constrain the costs in your business. At the end of the day, the purpose of a business is to make a profit. Let's define it and take it up front. Now, this is not being rude or mean or not paying your bills or anything like that. It's making sure that you have a sustainable business. The way that Mike does it is kind of an old principle that he took from personal finance and adapted it to business finance. So all we do is we set up kind of like the old envelope system, like Dave Ramsey might talk about, is bank accounts. And so all the money comes into one bank account. And this way it's clear, oh, this is how much money came into my business. And I can see it. The next thing we do is we take that money and we give every dollar a job and we send it to do a purpose. So the first purpose, of course, is profit. The second purpose is one we have not talked about that a lot of business owners suffer from. It's paying themselves. Most business owners pay themselves last and pay themselves below market. You know, if you actually did the numbers, I can't tell you how many business owners come to me and go, I don't understand this. We did $1 million in revenue. And when I look at my hourly reimbursement, it's not even minimum wage. Everyone in this business is making more than me. That's not fair. I'm like, well, we've got a problem. Let's fix it. So the next thing we do is we put money aside for their pay. Then we put money aside for taxes, because when the tax bill comes, most business owners freak out. The cool thing about Profit First is they welcome the tax conversation. They know they're successful. They stroke a check. And then the last bucket is your operating expenses. So now this is what you truly have to figure out how to run your business on it. This is your bucket. Use it wisely. Don't waste it and learn how to optimize it. And that's the entire Profit First system. So it's pretty simple. On a regular basis, you move the money around. It's a handful of transactions every month. It's not difficult. The cool thing is you always have clarity of how much money there is, how much came in, and where it is, and how much you have left. You don't have to open up accounting systems. You look at your bank balances, which what most business owners do. And so it's designed to work the way business owners do. Now, that is just our cash management portion of what I do. What we really do is we look at the business owner as a person. We try and figure out what their hopes, dreams, and desires are, both personally and professionally. Then we make sure the business fits that. Then we figure out the math of their business. And then we start to predict what the future is going to be. And then we constantly measure against those predictions. And we constantly make little tiny corrections to improve the business. So over a period of time, they start to become more and more profitable. And we know we're successful when a business owner gets on a call with me and says, we've never had so much cash. What am I supposed to do with that? And that's a wonderful day. And it takes time. This is not overnight success. This isn't like, you know, just do this. And it takes time. It takes due diligence. It takes thought. It takes making changes. But little by little, we can get you from where you are to where you want to be.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that it's such a thorough process too. You use two different tools in order to really help the whole person, the whole business, be able to fine tune, okay, where are the missing pieces? Let's bridge that together so you can live a fruitful life, but also be making money, not be struggling. Because I'm glad you brought it up earlier too, because a lot of times so many business owners do not pay themselves. I made that mistake in the beginning. I've learned differently. I've learned a lot along the way, but you know, I'm always learning more things. And I think that's part of the process where understanding how important it is to pay yourself, because then like what you mentioned, you might be making less than minimum wage if you're not paying yourself, but it's so important to know those things. And because you've worked with so many different people, I would love for you to share a success story of a business that you saw that significant turnaround after implementing all the tool sets that you have for them. Today's episode is sponsored by the Start Here Conference.
Hey there, fabulous folks. Welcome to the Start Here Conference, where the fun begins and success stories unfold.
Yep, you heard it right. We're here to kickstart your journey with a big dose of energy and a sprinkle of magic.
Picture this, a place where inspiration flows, connections bloom, and dreams take flight.
At Start Here, we're all about keeping it real and having a blast while doing it.
No stuffy suits or boring speeches here, just good vibes and endless possibilities.
So whether you're a seasoned entrepreneur or just dipping your toes in the water, there's something here for everyone.
From incredible breakout sessions to a dance party that'll have you jumping out your seats and showing us your best moves, this event will have it all.
And hey, did we mention the food? Delicious bites and refreshing drinks to keep you fueled up and ready to conquer the world.
So what are you waiting for? Grab your ticket, bring your sparkle, let's make some magic happen at the Start Here conference.
And now back to the show.
So I had a business owner come to me just before COVID, and he basically wanted to retire a few years out. And he said, I'd like to have, you know, at that point, he wanted $500,000 to walk away with, taxes covered and all of that. And he's like, can you help me achieve this? And I said, of course I can help you achieve that. Now, mind you, he's a six-figure business owner. So it's not like he's got super high revenue. COVID comes along. And first of all, he started seeing success very quickly because he listened and he changed his behaviors. And then we get hit with COVID, and surprisingly, his business actually did really, really well during COVID. Some did well, some did not, but he was able to pivot and do well. And so I think it was probably about a year, year and a half into it. He's like, you know, we're doing so well. I want to change my goal. I want to walk away with $1 million. I said, okay, you're doing so well. We're going to be able to do this, because we were tracking constantly every month to how he was doing towards his goal. And at the end of a little over 3 years, we're like, you hit your goal. And so he's like, I'm done. I'm finished. I have what I want. And now, you know, he's stepping out of business, and he was able to walk away with seven figures and be able to do that just by making — he didn't make tremendous changes. He was one of our most simplest clients, actually, and he was able to have those kinds of success because he was able to do things quickly. Our more complex clients, it takes longer to be able to do that. But over time, you know, depending on the business, we figure out what levers we can use and how to make those small tweaks to get big results.
I think it's so important, the small tweaks, because you can try to make a big change all at once and it can flounder and just be very overwhelming in that process. But if you're just taking those little steps, it's just like, I don't know if you've heard, like when you're 1% better, instead of trying to be 100% better every day, it's like that 1%. Mm-hmm. That's what came up to my mind when you were speaking about that.
And you think about it, if I could improve profit by 1% per month, at the end of a year, you've improved profit by 12%. At the end of 2 years, you've improved profit by 24%. And we're not even using the compounding right there. If you're actually compounding, it would be a higher percentage. But yes, little changes over time add up dramatically. And that's one of the big principles of profit first. Small changes over time.
Yes, I believe that in like every aspect of our lives, right? Where it just, even when we were wanting to like be healthier, it's not going to happen overnight. We can't change everything at once because it's not going to always work out or stay sustainable over time.
So true.
And I know, because you've had a lot of success, I'm curious, have there been any challenges along this journey for you that you've had to endure when it comes to helping business owners as well as your personal life too?
Well, yeah, I mean, not all our clients are successful. We've had some face bankruptcy. And part of the reasons were, you know, we can do everything we want, but sometimes we face things that are beyond our control. Like COVID was a major shift, you know, and a major reason for some of those things. Sometimes we can't make changes fast enough. Sometimes the market is what's constraining us. In other words, we're selling products that have a price cap. In other words, if you're selling something that everyone else is selling, you really can't charge a premium price unless you're doing something different with it, right? People just aren't going to pay that. Now, they will if you can figure out a way to do it, but it's not always easy to grow a big business like that. And so some of our businesses face those kinds of constraints. And so sometimes they've either pivoted out redone the way they've done things, or unfortunately, sometimes they don't make it. But they see that and they realize why, and they don't take it personally. Because sometimes it's just market forces changing. So, for example, right now we're going through an AI revolution, right? So because of that, certain businesses are probably going to go out of business, right? Because they're not offering much more value than what I could find in AI. Same thing happened when the iPhone came out. You know, all of a sudden, digital cameras pretty much disappeared, right? I used to have a little Garmin in my car. Well, nobody's paying for that anymore because everyone uses their phone for directions. So again, there's technological or life changes that happen that might wipe your business out. The question is, can you pivot? What can you do differently and how do you handle it? So I think that's a lot of the big parts of it. And even for me, you know, finding the right market fit for me, where really are the people that I like to work with? What size businesses, and then, you know, trying to get traction. This is the thing. Too often people want to start a business and they think they're going to make money in 3 months. It takes 3 years. And so learning to go through that, and again, just changing your mindsets, your behaviors, your belief system, we all go through it.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up because like when I started, and I go back to me because I feel like there's other people like me out there that think you're going to start a business. And I thought I would be making six figures in 6 months. I was like, yeah, totally. But I'm so glad that I went through that journey. I've learned so much, which is why I love having individuals like yourself on, really showcasing that every journey is a little bit different, but it does take time. You have to lay the foundation because if you try to grow on a cracked foundation, it's going to crumble. And that's just that foundational piece of knowing it does take time. Slow and steady wins the race. You can sprint to it. You can have really successful growth, but then you can't handle it sometimes because you don't have the net to catch you.
But also, if you haven't built out the systems and processes for a large company, you're going to implode on yourself, because what a tiny mistake that can easily be fixed becomes a tiny mistake times 100,000, which creates a massive problem, right? So like, for example, if I'm selling something and I call somebody to make it for me and they deliver it and it's wrong, it's like, okay, I'm out one item. But if I ship a container of that from China and it's wrong, uh-oh, I don't have any more money to get it fixed and order a new container and survive until that new container shows up. You're done. And so that's what I mean. If you don't get it right to begin with, the little problem turns into a massive hurdle.
Exactly. And it is tough. And especially with clients that might not be able to pivot or things start to occur, what motivates you to keep helping business owners achieve their financial goals, even when it's tough?
It's fun for me. Like, I love what I do. I don't have to do this. I've built my financial wealth. So this is done by choice and out of enjoyment. It's not about I need to make a buck. And so I think that's what makes it good, is that I don't have to make choices based on my bank balance. I make choices based on what I want to do in alignment with my values. So it's fun that way.
Yeah, it definitely is. Because when we are in alignment, things start to flow so easily and you get to help so many people because you can, and the passion is there. I feel, and I'm sure everyone listening feels it too. And just with all the success you've had, all the people you've helped, where do you see what you are doing, what you are helping business owners with evolving in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, so I think, you know, AI is here. So the question is, what new tools and what ways can we improve our processes? How do we bring even more value to our clients? How do we build out our internal processes to do things quicker and faster? I mean, for me, I'm a single person. I don't want to build a large business. So I can only help so many people. So the question is, if I can build out a way to help them easier on my side, then I can take on a couple additional clients. So that's just basically what we're looking to do. We do have a course that we have for small business owners, for those who want a little bit more hands-on, do-it-yourself with help. And so we haven't spent enough time kind of marketing that. And I think we'll probably do a little bit more in that particular space. We're going to try and figure out just making help available regardless of where they are in their business journey. The problem is most smaller business owners, and by smaller, I mean, even at $1 million a year, they struggle to get the help they need because they don't have the profit margins to be able to afford the help they need. And so we're trying to fix that gap as much as we can.
I love that. And I think it's important because a lot of people think, well, I need to be making this amount of money or have this amount of profit. But at the end of the day, it's having the resources available and having the knowledge, because I believe knowledge is power when applied. And it's exactly what you do on a day-to-day basis, helping people apply that knowledge so they are having profit versus struggling and trying to keep the doors open. Instead, they get to live their passion and have the help they need in order to make it successful. And just with the entrepreneurs you have worked with, all the business owners, what advice would you give new entrepreneurs just starting out, coming from a similar background to yours?
First thing we tell people is actually do the math of your business. And by doing the math of your business, I mean, it's not hard. If I want $1 million in revenue, right? Well, how much is what you sell? Well, it costs $1,000. Okay, if it costs $1,000, then in order to get $1 million, I need to sell 1,000 of them. So now the question is, how do you sell 1,000 of them? How do you market that? And that'll help you at least drive revenue, right? The next thing is, okay, if it costs $1,000, how much does it actually cost to make and deliver that? Have you figured out all those numbers? So if you're offering it for $1,000, is it actually profitable at $1,000? Yes or no? So figuring that out and understanding, okay, I can be profitable doing this. And then the last part of it is putting together all your financial policies. So if you're selling something for $1,000, how are you collecting that $1,000? Do they pay you up front? Much, much better than if they pay you in 90 days, because, you know, then you're stuck carrying 90 days, which, let's just say we're going to sell $1 million a year. That means you've got $300,000+ in accounts receivable. Do you have $300,000 to carry your accounts receivable? Like, it's just understanding all that basic math, putting together that, and then putting together all your systems and processes. So, for example, everyone's probably been to McDonald's, right? We all go to McDonald's, and yet, no matter who's working there, they know how to pretty much deliver the same product. I'm not saying it's a great product or a bad product, but everywhere you go, you get the same product. And when you go in and you ask for a Whopper, they're not going to serve you. We don't make Whoppers here. They're not trying to customize everything for every client's wish or everything else, right? And so that's really the key, is building out all of those systems, processes, and tools so that as you grow, it is done efficiently.
Absolutely.
And it sounds simple, but it takes a lot of work.
It does. It definitely does. But it's going to save you so much time in the long run. Just what we were talking about earlier, if you have one little mistake, okay, it's just one product versus ordering it from China and having like a huge quantity, because it's quality over quantity, especially in the beginning. I mean, it should always be quality, but I think the fact is having those systems and processes in place give you that solid foundation to continue to grow and not feel like you're juggling so many things in order to have that success. The weight is a little off of you in that process. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I'm curious, how would you define success for yourself, and how has that evolved over time?
Oh, you know, way back when, success was all about money. You know, today it's all about freedom to do what I choose and the ability to do it. And so it's much more about the freedom than it is about the actual money itself. And that's how you define success. When you can do what you want, when you want, how you want.
I saw something similar to that quote as well on X the other day, and it was just about talking about success, like being able to go get lunch with your family or be able to do anything on your time and having that freedom, because it looks different for everybody. But I love
It
that you
does.
said that. It's really about how we define it and how we're living that truth every day. And I love that you are. And there's been so many insights that you've shared with us today. I've been so enjoying this conversation. But Rocky, where can people find you? Find your course, everything else. We're going to link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
Yeah. So the website is profitcomesfirst.com, and we do have a podcast, Profit Answer Man, where we teach all the business finance. And then I have another podcast called Richer Soul. The tagline was, "You got rich, now what?" So it's really about how to live that more intentional, purposeful life, how to build wealth and build yourself along with it.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Rocky, for just taking the time today to share your journey, all the ups and downs, but really how you're helping people put profit first for their business so there can be more successful business owners throughout the US and throughout the world as well. So thank you for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Rocky today? I'm sure he would love to see that comment, and we'll see you on the next episode.